listening to the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, Alison Springer and Katie Grosbeck join me to discuss the importance of gaining a solid education before starting a career as a professional eventer. Well, first of all, Alison, why did you choose to have a sound education and go to college, and what did you graduate with before you started your eventing career?
Well, I'm probably a little bit different than most people that you're reaching out to. I actually, being a horse professional and all that was not on my mind at the time. I grew up, three-day eventing and, ski racing. And, I always, since I was a little girl, wanted to go to the Olympics for three-day eventing, but I never thought I'd necessarily, nor did I want to be a horse professional. So it's a little bit of a different situation, I think, maybe for me. Now, that being said, I went to Bowdoin College in Maine, which is a great liberal arts school there. I had just done Young Riders, two-star for the first time, prior to my freshman year, and the owner of that horse said, oh, you should take him out east and you should go to these great events like Radnor and Essex and all that, and I hadn't even, I mean, that was like a dream come true, so I really thought I was going to do that, and my parents were like, nope, no horse at college. So it's a little bit of a different thing. I think the horses became more and more important, and the decision to really make it be my life was certainly during college, and I think that that happened after I wasn't actually allowed to have them with me at school to begin with. So, my college education, there was no chance I was going to take any time off. I wasn't allowed to take a gap year before him. I wasn't allowed to take a horse. And I said that I have the most supportive parents in the world. So it might be a little bit different, but I think my education is probably the biggest thing sitting in my back pocket, one of the greatest things I have right now. And I'm not sure if that fully answers your question, but...
Well, I'd like to also know what you graduated with. What was your chosen subject and what...
My major was government and legal studies. That is a Bowdoin Poli Sci major. And being a liberal arts school, I had a really well-rounded education. So I was a class away from a minor in... economics, geology, a couple different things. So I got to take a very broad, a broad range of courses. I've always loved, and been interested in how the world works and how people get along. And so I think that's where my specifically within the government and legal studies, I focus more on international relations. And I think that has been really helpful towards what I've needed as a professional horseback rider. And certainly when we start getting to the point of having to bring more people like syndicate members in or talking to sponsors or companies, I think it's really important to be able to have intelligent conversations, write well, engage people on a different level other than just your horseback riding.
I want to explore that a little bit further in a moment, but let's first bring in Katie, because I think she has a very different story, Alison, and a different qualification at the end of it. So Katie, tell us, which school did you go to and what did you graduate with?
I went to UCLA with a degree in linguistics and anthropology. And that kind of grew out of a passion for, I was actually editor of the school newspaper at my high school for 2 years. And more than writing, I really liked the editing and investigating the grammar and the written language from an analytical perspective. And I actually had a teacher recommend linguistics to me. So without further ado, I signed up for linguistics courses at UCLA, and I never looked back. And I came out the far side, also fairly well-rounded, as Alison said. When I think you're in any sort of liberal arts major, you end up taking a very diverse array of courses that cover so many different topics. And so although my degree was in linguistics and anthropology, I touched on so many things while I was there.
So why did you choose anthropology?
Well, at UCLA, you can do linguistics and almost any other major there. Like, you can have a linguistics and Spanish degree, linguistics and geography, linguistics and, there's just this endless list of things that you can combine with linguistics that gives the degree a very specific focus. And I was also quite interested in anthropology, so I thought, well, I'll just do both. And it was a bit of a whim, but it ended up working out really well. I never changed my major. I was in and out in 4 years, and I enjoyed every second of it.
So this is a bachelor's degree. This is a first degree, is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And the same for you, Alison?
Yes.
So was there at any point, Alison, in your early career as a teenager, were you thinking, well, maybe, with this degree, I could do something else other than horses?
Well, I was actually my senior year of college. I was interviewing for, I ended up getting a horse end of my sophomore year. I mean, I couldn't be away from the animal. It's just, I'm like any little girl in love with horses. It's in your blood. It's a disease. So it was great that my folks made me go and focus on college and kind of, explore other things. I played rugby, I did all that sort of stuff. And then, I really missed it. So I got a pretty green thoroughbred, and through my college years, brought him up, and by my senior year, he was kind of good. He was going preliminary, and in my mind, I'd had the idea. I'm like, I'm going to take him to Radnor this year. Well, at the same time, I was interviewing for a position with Angus King, and which would have been a great first job, in the world of sort of politics and getting a taste of it. And I had already had my competition schedule planned out in my head, and was in kind of close to the end of interviews, and they said, "Oh, he loves Bowdoin grads," and blah blah blah. And so I started asking about days off and weekends and all that, and certainly in that world, it does not work that way. And it became pretty obvious to me, and I just remember having a conversation with my dad. Dad, I've always wanted to go to the Olympics. That has always been my dream, and I'm worried. I know that I'm not going to, I know I can always come back to the career and other stuff, but I just worry I'm going to live my life not living my dream, which we all know that we should be doing, so and making it all work, so, or would love to be doing anyways. So that's how I ended up becoming a professional. It was to pursue my dream, which is why I had to do it. But I never thought that, I always thought that I was going to do something else and also be able to go to the Olympics and have, the one horse or whatever that you do. And we know that's not a reality. And that's kind of how I came to be a professional. So that's how that worked out.
Well, Katie, as we've heard from Alison, it's really important to have supportive parents, but at that young age, they're also influencing you to take the right career path and education. Mm-hmm. How much input did they have in the choices that you made?
To start with, both of my parents were already professional horsemen. And so I actually, when I was going, I had always been a straight-A student and really, not going to college never even crossed my mind. I had actually considered joining the Navy at one point because I wasn't sure that I could afford college, and I was just so adamant that I was going to go. And I was like, well, you join the Navy or something, you get free college. So I had actually come from the point of view that I did not want to be a professional. I didn't want to do, I didn't want to make my living doing horses, because I'd seen how hard it was, and you're married to the farm, you're married to the business. And it wasn't that I didn't have a great experience growing up, but I just maybe I'll go have a career and I'll ride for fun. So when I went to school, it wasn't through any prodding of my parents. They were completely supportive. I mean, I think if I had said I wanted to join the circus, they probably would have told me to have fun and have a great time. But it was, they just told me that wherever I wanted to apply, whatever I wanted to do, that was my decision, and that it would just be you know, I would have to take it as it came, where, you know, if it was harder than I thought, or if it wasn't what I liked, you know, that those were all my decisions and those would be my consequences. But they were quite happy to let me do whatever I wanted to pursue. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I can't even exactly remember a conversation about it, about whether I would go to college or whether I wouldn't. I mean, it was always just a given, I guess. And I never really asked their permission, but I never really was forced to go either. So it was kind of a funny situation that while I was in school, I took my horse with me my first year. I was at a dressage show in Southern California, and through just a series of events, befriended a family who lived in L.A. I kept in touch with them, and when I was accepted to UCLA and decided to go, I got back in touch with them, and they offered to put me up for a couple months. So I moved to L.A. 2 months before my first quarter started. I lived with them. I brought my horse down. I got all settled in at a boarding stable, and they were actually the ones who helped me move into my dorm room. And so I had my horse with me. I rode, I worked on campus, and I worked as a working student. And then over the winters, for like the first year and a half, winters and summers, I would go home. But my horse would go home when I wasn't competing heavily, so that I could save up money for the next time I had to have him with me. And then there were some periods of time where my horse actually lived fully at home, and I would drive back and forth from school, which was about a 7-8 hour drive one way. But I would go home every other weekend, or we'd meet somewhere in the middle at a schooling facility. And that's kind of how my parents supported me doing both the horses and school. And that was a huge part of it, them being willing to pick up the slack on the other end. And, you know, it was a blessing that, you know, I don't come from a lot of money, but I've been spoiled in so many other ways that I never had to pay for board or lessons or training my entire life until I went to college. So, and even then, they were both just right there with me every step of the way, helping me keep riding and competing and keeping my horse going while I was taking. I was a full-time student all 4 years. And I was not one of those college students who had a two-day-a-week schedule. I had a five-day-a-week schedule every single quarter all through to my senior year. So, you know, I was busy. And the only reason I kind of fell into being, we'll call it professional. I don't necessarily consider myself a professional, and not nearly anywhere on the same level of Allison, but I'm a professional in the sense that I do this full time. I don't have another career. But how I kind of fell into doing it full time was then because I was spending so much time at the barn with my own horse. And as I was moving up the levels, people started coming to me asking for help with, they either wanted lessons or wanted me to ride their horse. So, you know, it made sense to start making money at the same place where I spent most of my life anyway. And so it just kind of became, okay, so then I was teaching and I was riding, I had a few horses in training, and I also was tutoring middle school students and high school students, and I also did, I worked for a pet grooming company. I did their computer work. I mean, I did a million different jobs to pay for it all. But that's just kind of how I ended up being fully involved in the horse, as in a professional sense. It's just that it made sense. That's where I spent all my time. So that's where I would make my money.
Right. Well, Allison, you mentioned earlier about how you've used what you've learned through a degree, how you've put it into practice in your business life now, running your own business. Give us some examples of that and what you would say to young people about developing those that early education that can help you in different walks of life.
Well, I mean, I just think it's, you know, I already touched on it a little bit before. I just think you notice a big difference with the people in the industry or following the, the dream. I mean, I guess I'm going to say that Katie and I are in the same boat that we ended up as professionals because we were sort of following the dream. You know, when I said I went professional after college,
I didn't go professional in the sense that I am now. I galloped race horses in the morning. I rode my eventers. I waitressed all night. I wasn't actually, and you start picking up rides here, you get a little better. And I did anything to make enough money. And my dad was so supportive in that he respected me, following the dream. And he knew this is my passion, but, I got chided a little. He's like, when are you going to get a real job? When are you going to get, I was bound and determined to make it all work. I mean, I do remember being at Southern Pines one year, and I'm like, I've got $70 to make it home. And I remember calling him. I'm like, I just need a little gas money. But I was so good. And of course, they helped me out. But I remember just, I'm like, I'm going to make this happen. And then you somehow get into, it all works out. But I noticed a huge difference in the folks that, that can have just an intelligent conversation about the world. You can't think that, the sponsors are, we all as young professionals or young, riders or living the dream, like we need so much help. You need so much help and you never get it. You never really get the help you need until you're all the way there. You have to, keep reaching out to people, and they're almost all the way. It's a huge struggle to make it to the top. I'm not gonna fluff it for anyone, especially if you have to figure out how to get your own horses and do it all. I mean, it's a lot of work. And so being able to reach out to people to make new connections and that's about building friendships, and friendships come out of interesting conversations and connections. It's not just because you're a hot rider on a horse. I think that I've noticed a huge difference in the riders that know how to do it. I get asked all the time, well, how do you have, these whatever, various product sponsors or all that. Certainly they're products that I 100% believe in, but I really believe that all of these people from the companies really enjoy the time that we spend together. And I love the time that I spend with them. And that has a lot to do with being, a bit worldly, and education is a part of that. Now I've had big conversations with, obviously Kieran O'Connor is one of the most intelligent worldly people that you'll ever meet. She is so wonderful to talk to and so intelligent, all that. And she does not have a college degree, and she's very successful. So I do sometimes, and I'm sure the reason that you want Katie and I here talking is I think a lot of kids see that and they think, I can do that too. Obviously Karen didn't have a college education. I mean, Karen's like one in a million. You think of all the people that have the dream of making it, what is the percentage that really gets there? And to not have any other options, I think, is a very scary thing. And I would like to think, I mean, maybe it's being a little bold, but I would like to think if I got to the time when it's time for me to retire or whatever, I do think that there's a number of companies, even some of the companies that sponsor me now, that I could actually go and work for and have a wonderful career in the rest of my life and be able to make some money and not be afraid about the future. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Well, certainly. I think that's very sound advice, Alison. So my question would be then, if a little pixie came along and said, I'm sorry, you can't ride anymore, what would you actually be doing? And would you have chosen something now that would have been different to what you'd have chosen coming out of college without the option of a career with horses?
Yeah, I think that what I've learned, I'm actually a very, very good teacher and a good clinician. I have, I really enjoy teaching a lot. So I think while I was in college or growing up, I would have never thought about teaching or tutoring or doing anything like that. It's something I actually really enjoy doing, and that is something that I could do. I mean, I have, I think I have a range of things that I can. That's just something that I enjoy and have a passion about. I could go that route. Obviously, that might not be the biggest money-making route. I have, while I was, one of the things that I did also while I was doing the whole gallop racehorses in the morning, waitress at night, I'd worked for Hallmark Equine Insurance a number of years ago. half days. And that was, I learned a lot then, and I actually, I could, I could certainly go into the insurance industry as well. There's, I feel like I have a pretty well-rounded education, and I have a bit of experience in a different areas, but I have options. Certainly the idea of teaching, though, I never would have thought. I didn't know how good I was at it when I was in college or in high school, and it is something I really love, and I love helping people and doing that. So that's something that would be a newer thought or idea.
Well, how about you, Katie? Now, you've got linguistics and anthropology. That's an interesting combination. What else would you like to do with your life?
An offshoot of that, for a while I'd actually considered, and this is very common of linguistics majors, to go on to law school, because when you start to dissect language, you can start to manipulate language. And so law school, actually a lot of linguistics majors end up being attorneys on, some go into contract law, they're not all necessarily, defense attorneys or things like that.
You're not inferring, are you, Katie, that lawyers manipulate language, are you?
Well, there is a certain art form to being able to play with words. And, it's funny, when I was a freshman and they told me that, I was like, I didn't see the relation at all between the two things. But by the time I came out the other side with my degree, I began to appreciate just how much science, just in as many ways as you can play with numbers in math, you can play with words and language and sounds. And so to me, I was such a geek for linguistics. It's not even funny. I was a total nerd for it. But so at first I thought, oh, law school, that would be really cool. And, you could do so many things with that and be so successful. And, it sounded all really glamorous. And when you're, moving from a little cow town to the middle of LA, just everything seems so glamorous and wonderful. But by the time I came out of school, I'd actually found a passion for working with kids through some of the different experiences I'd had. And I made a lot of what I did while I was in school was tutoring. And so I discovered that I really enjoyed working with children. But part of that is that I really, really wanted to keep going with the linguistic side of things. And so speech pathology and communicative disorders was something that I was really fascinated in pursuing. And being able to maybe work in a school district as a speech therapist, or working with children with learning disabilities and things like that, cognitive disorders. But that also takes a master's degree and much more education. But the reason I didn't actually end up pursuing that was because as I got more involved with 3-day eventing and I started kind of realizing the potential for myself, my horse, I said, well, I can't just drop this for 4 years and say, all right, I'll come back to this later. I said, well, I got to strike while the iron's hot. And Allison says, following that dream, you get so wrapped up into I got to keep going. So I thought, well, I can always go back to school when I'm old and crippled. So I didn't actually go on to a master's degree, but the thought is still there that if I ever really wanted to pursue that, I could still do that. And even without a master's degree, there's still so many different things I could do.
And you're both natural. Clearly, you are both natural teachers. So, Alison, I'll get the final word from you then as the senior member of this group, as far as the guests are concerned. But you can share with us your thoughts, your words of wisdom to young people who see the big dream like you do, want to make horses their lifestyle, their living. What advice would you give to young people?
Well, I think that, I think we're all blessed to be able to live the dream and to chase them and all that. I think it's important to try to also see the big picture of life, and it's the same thing with managing your barn and your horses and your business. You want to make sure all the bases are covered and you're trying to see into the future, and you have to, you see it time and time again, all that care and thought that we put in our horses, we don't necessarily put into our personal lives. And so I think some, education is a good part of that, a good
good friend of mine and a gal I've helped some riding this year, Erin Friedman. She's a great professional dressage, and you know, she has an advanced horse at the 3-day, you know, at for eventing. She's going back to school as well, so that she can do, because she has a passion for something specific that she could, you know, would help make her life financially more stable, and she could do that a bit more part-time and continue to be, you know, whether it's a part-time professional rider or not. But there is a lot to be said for, you know, a bit of stability in life and looking ahead. And I think we're all best as competitors, and we're best in our sport achieving our goals when our lives are as stress-free as possible. And certainly that finances and future and those sort of worries that come with it have a lot to do with that. So that would be a good reason to really think about making sure you have a well-rounded education and are covering all the bases.
Well, that's very sound advice, Alison. Thank you very much indeed for joining us this week, and to you too, Katie, and good luck with you both with all of your endeavors.
Thank you.
This podcast is also available on iTunes. For more information about the USEA, please visit the website at useventing.com. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.